الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, first and foremost, I would really sincerely apologize for the confusion in regards to the khutbah translation. You see, sometimes I have to travel abroad for da'wah purposes, and therefore I'm unable to come to the translation, and or there's a khutbah in Mushrifa where I deliver the khutbah in English, and before I used to manage to do the khutbah, then kind of, you know, chase myself here and try to make it for both. But it really made it difficult, and the brothers over there had their right deprived because they would often have some follow-up questions after the khutbah. So basically, I'm always absent for some da'wah reason. And the other brother, Brother Sahir, whom we had exclusively for ourselves, is now engaged in translating the khutbah in the old airport da'wah center. So, because there are people over there. So anyways, I apologize for sometimes you guys not having anyone to do any translation on Friday. It is not out of carelessness, and it's not intentional, but لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعًا. Allah does not burden the soul beyond His scope. We'll try to have a better arrangement, inshallah, so that you do not have to go through this again. But no promises. We'll just try our best, inshallah. But in regards to the khutbah, titled Rahmatul Kibar, or Mercy to the Elderly. The Shaykh began the khutbah by stating that Islam had come with mercy, with the full meaning or the comprehensive meaning of the word. So before everything, Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy has encompassed everything. And in an authentic tradition, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jal said that verily my mercy exceeds, or my mercy exceeds my anger. So yes, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal comes before His anger. How often do the creation disobey Him while He is showing kindness to them? And how often are they evil while He shows mercy to them and He does not hasten their punishment? And if they were to repent and return to Him, He would accept their repentance and He will turn their good deeds, or He will turn their evil deeds into good deeds. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most merciful of the creation to the creation, in the manner in which He invited them to Allah, in His goodness towards them, in teaching them, teaching the ignorant among them, being kind and gentle towards them. And He would bear the harm He would get for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says in describing this concept, so due to the mercy of Allah, you were lenient towards them. You were kind towards them. Had you been harsh and hard-hearted, then they would have surely scattered around from around you. That was Surah Al-Imran. From among the kinds of mercy is the mercy that the youngsters should show towards the elderly. And also the one that the elderly should show towards the youngsters. So there should be a mutual mercy between the young to the old and the old to the young. Now Allah Azza wa Jal told us about some facts. The beginning, the middle stage, and the end. The ayah says, Allah is the one who created you in the state of weakness. Then He made after this weakness, strength. Then He made after that strength, weakness and shayba, gray hair. He creates whatever He wills, and He is the all-knowing, the all-capable. So the Shaykh said, our strength lies between two weaknesses. The weakness in the beginning of the affair, when one is born and one is helpless and he's light and he's in need, is complete state of weakness. And then as the time goes by and the years go by, the person gains some strength as you grow older until you reach the teenage or the adulthood, the adolescence. And then this is the prime of your life and you're all, you know, strong and you feel that you've gotten there. And soon after, the hours will go by and you find yourself, you're back in the state of weakness and need just like you were in the beginning. So you may not be able to hear very well, or you may not be able to see very well, or your movement may be slow, or you may even have to remain in bed because of old age. He said, then, O slave of Allah, speaking now to the elderly, now that you have reached this age, and you have already passed the stage of youthfulness, and now you have returned to the state of weakness and inability after you had been strong, what are you thinking about? What is your affair? Know that the past shall never return to you. And know that the pages, the books which contain your deeds have been folded. You cannot change what you have done in the past. So what is important? What is important now is tawbah, is repentance to Allah and return to Him. And then seeking repentance, because that is means for that evil which may have been committed in the past to be erased. Can't go back and change the past, but you can repent to Allah and therefore not be responsible for the past. Which is what maghfirah means. Because the maghfir or the mighfar is the helmet which they would wear during the war. It is means of protecting you from the harm of something. And when Allah forgives someone, when Allah has maghfirah, meaning Allah will protect them from the consequence of the sin. The sin will remain there, but the consequence which it's supposed to bring in terms of calamities and punishment, then that Allah Azza wa Jal will overlook. Which is the essence of maghfirah. And then he quoted a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person who has reached 60 has no excuse. Allah has given plenty of admonishment for the person who has reached 60 years old. In another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and did we not allow you to live the duration for which the one who remembers would remember, and then the nadir had come to you? The scholars debated on the interpretation of nadir. Some of them said the warning has come to you is the actual gray hair. Once you start having gray hair, meaning the warning has come to you. Khalas, you're reaching that age. Of course, some people have some various reasons why at the age of 18 or 20 they have gray hair. That is an exception to the rule. But generally, the gray hair is a sign. Or the nadir could mean 60 years. Or it could be the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whichever one of these three it is, the nadir or the warning has come to us. And therefore, we should be mindful and remember what Allah wants us to remember. Oh, old man, lean or turn towards your Lord. Turn towards your Lord and make up for what has passed in the old days. And abundantly seek forgiveness from Allah and turn to Him in repentance. Verily Allah will erase the past. Allah says in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, whosoever does evil or wrongs himself, then he seeks forgiveness of Allah. He will inevitably find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. That is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh old man, may Allah Azza wa Jal rectify your condition and be kind towards you. And remember that in Allah there's a better substitute for everything that you may lose. And have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And be confident in Him and assume the best about Him, because He is whatever you assume about Him. Remember Him and get to know Him now that you have reached the old age. And make plenty of dua and seek nearness to Him. And ask Him to give you a good end. And that you should die in the state of submission. And that you should meet Him while He is pleased with you. Oh old man, the youthful days have gone. And the days of strength and power have also left you. And now has come the time for your weakness and your inability. So then refer your matters to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that He may rectify your condition, He may have mercy towards your weakness, and He may treat you with kindness. And He may include you in the general mercy, wherein Allah Azza wa Jal said, or who is it who responds to the distressed when He calls him and He alleviates the harm and He makes you deputies of earth? Is there any other God worthy of worship with Allah? Little do you remember. Then he started addressing the Shabab.
He said, your religion invites you to respect the elderly and treat them with kindness. O young men, having mercy to the elderly and treating them with goodness is one of the characters or the qualities of Islam which was brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O young men, know that this old man has a right and has a particular status amongst you. Know it so that you do not waste it, and be mindful of his feelings and sensitivity, which you have often hurt. And know that he has a position which you cannot undermine. O young men, how often have the youngsters ignored the elderly? Or they speak in their presence without permission? Or they give their opinion while they are foolish and feeble-minded? And how often have you mistreated the elderly? O young men, O youngsters, the rights of the elderly upon you are great. And it is obligatory for you to be merciful to them and be kind to them, specifically your parents and your kinship, your ties, your uncle, aunt, paternal and maternal. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal says, if one of them or both of them attain old age while you are there, then do not say to them, uff, nor scold them, and say to them a noble word. This is in regards to the parents. Then he went to kind of arouse the sentiments and the feelings of the elderly by saying some things of this sort. He said, how often does the elderly suffer of being deprived of respect and appreciation until he becomes a stranger in his own house, even amongst his children and his grandchildren? Who will speak to him kindly? And who will respond to him when he asks a question? And who will fulfill his need? And who will even be concerned about him? This is a great calamity. How often have the children or the youngsters abandoned and the rights of their parents and the elderly and their uncles and aunts, and sitting with them, you know, just for a few minutes is like this burdensome, event and experience. You just can't handle it. But spending the whole night with your friends and buddies is something that is very easy. It just feels like a few seconds. The father, he's describing the condition of some. The father is in agony of pain, and the mother cannot find anyone who services her, and so they hire a servant who doesn't care much about them either, and their life is just boredom. While you are in your strength and you are in your power and you have the good health, so where is the right of your father upon you, and where is the right of your mother upon you? Know the rights of the kinship ties. Be gentle towards them, kind and courteous. In a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, part of venerating and magnifying the greatness of Allah is that you treat nobly the person who has gray hair, the elderly in Islam, and the one who carries the Quran, and the person of authority who is just. So this is a form of showing veneration to Allah, that you treat the elderly in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh said, you know, the general sunnah of Allah, or the way of Allah, is that if you were to show mercy to someone older than you, then it's very highly probable that Allah will assign someone for you to treat you the same way you treated others. It's not like 100%, just in case someone said, well, I did this, no one was there for me. This is the qadar of Allah. But the general situation is, you treat your parents well, then Allah will assign children who will treat you well. And you mistreat your parents, then eventually, if Allah wills, there will come a time when your children will mistreat you. This is a general condition, but it's not across the board. Sometimes Allah decrees otherwise in these matters. Then he quoted a very interesting incident at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, which is Ibn Abi Quhafa, his father's name was Abu Quhafa. He had come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to pledge allegiance with him after the conquest of Mecca and to declare his Islam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, in other words, why did you not leave this old man at home so that we would go to him? Okay, he's an old man and you're bringing him for the Pledge of Allegiance with the importance of that. But because of his age and Arab, and he had a very white beard, by the way. It's the same time when he told him and change, have him change the color of his beard. Not a wajib, according to the ulama, they differ on the issue. But nevertheless, it's mustahab to change the gray hair to henna while avoiding black. But if someone doesn't do it, not an issue. It's not an issue. Ala kulli hal. So out of mercy to the elderly, he said, alayhi sallam, why did you not leave him at home so we would come to him? Okay, so that's the Messenger of Allah, alayhi sallam, would visit him in his own home to pledge allegiance for Islam. So that is the what we learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how to treat the elderly. In another narration in Bukhari, it was known that whenever a young person would speak in the presence of the elderly, the Prophet alayhi sallam would say, kabbir, kabbir. Not say takbir here, because kabbir could mean Allahu Akbar. Kabbir meaning from kabir, meaning give the elderly the chance to speak first. Give them the opportunity to speak first. Allow them to be the ones who initiate the discussion in the majlis. So this shows you also how Islam was keen on defining the role and the respect which is supposed to be present between the elderly and the youngsters and vice versa. So, O slave of Allah, if the years have gone by and you're old and tired and fatigued and ill, and you need someone to fulfill your need, then basically return to Allah. And for the youngsters, remember that you will become in this position one day. Don't be deceived now by your power, strength and everything, so you feel that you will never become old. A day shall come when you will become old and then you would be in need of someone. So treat these people the way you want to be treated when you are their age. In other words, that's just the summary of the paragraph. Then he said, oh elderly people, you are in our hearts, you are in our eyes. This is an Arabic idiomatic expression. It doesn't mean that you are in our eye. It means that you are under our care. And Allah said to Musa, وَلِتُصْنَعْ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. So you may be raised under my special care and attention. It doesn't mean the literal meaning in this sense. You have always exerted yourself and strove in raising us. And that we will appreciate and we will keep in our hearts for you. However, you have to fix what you have done of mistakes in the past by seeking repentance to Allah and seeking nearness to Him and making dua that He makes the last or the end of your deeds the best among them, and that He and He made the best of days is the day you meet Him. At the end, he said, how often has a young son run away from his father? And how often has a young son run away from his mother? And how often has a young boy run away from his uncle and aunt? And how often are children running away from their parents in general? If they're able to throw them in the ocean, they would have. And if they're able to find an old aged home to leave them there, then they would do so as well. The mercy has been extracted from their hearts. And so their hearts are so hard that they have no mercy whatsoever. As for the true believer, he is the opposite of that. His heart is full of mercy, compassion, kindness towards the elderly. He treats them well. He respects them. He doesn't raise his voice in their presence, nor does he speak to them in a manner which is not becoming. And he recognizes the weakness and the inability of this old man, so he treats him accordingly. A woman had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the farewell pilgrimage, and she said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, my father, the farida of Hajj, had been legislated while my father is an old man, and he's unable to remain stable on the mount." You put them on the camel because he's so old, he cannot remain. You know, the camel, whatever the horse is going to go up and down, he will fall off the animal. He's unable to remain stable. He can't control himself. Shall I do Hajj on his behalf? He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, yes. Had your father had some debt that he owed, would you not have paid it on his behalf? Then verily Allah's right is more deserving to be paid. the debt to Allah, which is Hajj, is more deserving to be paid. Of course, from this hadith and others, we learn the permissibility of you doing Hajj or Umrah on behalf of your unable parents or the deceased. We have other narrations in regards to the deceased. Not every deed will reach the deceased. Specifically, the bid'ah of khatm, after someone dies, they bring the whole family, or I don't know how many people, and everybody reads the juzu of the Quran, and they say this khatma is for fulan who died, so they recite the Quran on behalf of fulan. No such thing in Islam. And believe me, had this been pleasing to Allah, the Sahaba would not have missed out on a single opportunity to get engaged in this very noble act of worship so that they can show mercy to one another. I challenge anyone to bring a single evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah that any one of the Sahaba ever did that when someone would pass away. Never. But people now like to introduce things because, brother, you know, Quran, brother, you recite in the Quran. You say reciting the Quran is haram? La, ya akhi. This is called philosophy. We're not saying reciting the Quran is haram, but reciting the Quran in this manner for this purpose is a bid'ah. It's not the recitation itself, it's the circumstances of the recitation. Otherwise, pray dhuhr 6 rak'at. Is praying an extra rak'ah haram? Is praying a rak'ah haram? No, it's halal. But do dhuhr 5 rak'at. You cannot. Why? That rak'ah in this context is haram. And that khatma in this context is also haram. Is also haram. There's no such ibadah. Mawlana invented it, then Mawlana gave it in inheritance to other Mawlanas, and Mawlanas gave it to other people, it became part of the deen. And if you speak about it or speak against it, you become a shaitan. How could you go against Mawlana? Who are you? Mawlana! Ya Habibi, Mawlana is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. If they didn't do it, wallahi we would not do it. Inshallah, you bring all the Mawlanas in one. And all of them addresses simultaneously to do something. The Sahaba left alone, we will not do it. That's the Sunnah. Now people like it, they don't like it, they get emotional, they reject it. You will never. This is a never-ending story. Until Yawm al-Qiyamah, we will differ on these issues. Until Yawm al-Qiyamah. But what is important is we have an evidence for what we're doing, and we require an evidence from those who want to do the opposite. Everything is bid-dalil. With the dalil, we can work things out. If someone doesn't bring a dalil, he will lose the match. He may emotionally reject and still do his bid'ah, but in the deen of Allah, he has lost until he brings a dalil. So this khatma has no dalil. When someone dies, the best thing you can do is dua for them. Make dua for them. Or you do a umrah on their behalf. Or you give sadaqah on their behalf. Because we have evidences about the permissibility of these ibadat. Go give a sadaqah, 10,000 riyals. Jazakallahu khairan. And inshallah it will benefit him. Because we have a hadith that legislate that. Same thing for umrah and hajj. But salah on his behalf, recitation of the Quran, we don't have any evidence for these. So we have to stick to the dalil whichever way it takes us. I know this is off the topic, but we have to spice it up a little bit. Seems like some of you are sleepy. And so I'm sure maybe after this someone would want to beat me up. But fi sabilillah. Anyways, so here he mentioned another narration that Ibn Umar was doing tawaf, and then there was another man doing tawaf with his mother on his back. He was carrying his mother on his back. So he said, "Ya Ibn Umar, do you see that I have fulfilled the right of my mother? I mean, I'm carrying her on my back and doing tawaf with her." He said, "No, by Allah, not even one contraction from the contractions of delivery. Not even one. But you are doing good and Allah will give you ajr for the goodness which you are doing. It's good what you're doing, but that does not make it up for your mother, nor does that, is not a real payback for all the suffering she had to go through when you were young." So the Shaykh concluded the khutbah by saying, "This is Islam. It calls us to this noble character and it encourages us to act upon it. And so there must be a relationship between the elderly and the youngsters. For example, the youngster should never go in before the elderly, nor should he go out before the elderly. Nor should he ride in the vehicle before them, nor should he sit before them. These are some of the adab. They're not wajib, but these are some of the etiquettes of the youngsters they should have with the elderly. Some people complain and they say, leave them alone, they're just kids. You know, the Shaykh was saying, they're just kids, they will learn eventually. He said, this is nonsense. They're not kids anymore. Or kids are very, very, picky. They pay attention to things and they record them, and they will eventually, 10 years later, he will say, my father used to say, this is okay, this is not okay. So the kids are actually paying attention to these words and these things you say. Raise them from a young age. Teach them from a young age to do or not to do. They will become used to it. From a young age, you tell them this is aib. Even a kid who's 2 years old, if his knee is exposed, let's say he's wearing a short thawb or shorts, and his knee is exposed, you cover his knee. The first time you say aib. The second time you say aib. The fifth time, he by himself, when he sees his knee being exposed, he will cover it. Or if you go like this to him, he will automatically know that you're speaking about the name. He will say aib, aib, which is, inappropriate, and he will cover it. This is as young as two. This is, I've tried this. As they say, I've tried this at home. You won't believe how easily the kids can learn. The other day we were in an old airport masjid. There was this young boy eating. He's like maybe 5 years old. Eating with the left hand. And drinking with the left hand. So I told him, Bilyamin. Bilyamin. So he doesn't even know what Bilyamin is. So I told him, this hand. I put the cake. Said, this one, eat. So he started eating with the right hand. His father got upset. He said, leave him alone. He's still a kid. He's still a kid. I said, he's 5 years old. My son is 2 years old. Alhamdulillah. I tell him, Bilyamin, he will automatically transfer, and he's left-handed. He's left-handed. He does everything with the left hand. But I say, Bilyamin, he will automatically transfer to the right hand. 2 years old. I said, your son is 5 years old, akhi. I'm not trying to be, rude here. But he's 5 years old. Trust me, he knows what the right and the left is. If you don't teach him now, it will become difficult for him in the future. It's easy. Just tell him, Bilyamin, Bilyamin, a few times, khalas. He will become programmed. So we have to be careful of this idea. Well, wait till he's older. No, from the young age, teach them. Then later you don't have to do anything. They will be automatically programmed. Be a little tough with them so that you can benefit in the future. Otherwise, they will give you a hard time. They will drive you crazy. You say, why didn't you tell me 2 years ago? You say, excuse me, man. I thought you were young. Say, well, I'm not young. So, kids are funny like that. So he said that you have to, instill in them these values so that we can, as Muslims, benefit generally. And with that, he concluded his khutbah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ